P-30. Fiori Frontieri Global Headquarters, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Whoa there, Timo Fiori blurted out, caught off guard by a sudden flash that saw him close his eyes and raise a hand in defense against the total light. Had it not come so unexpectedly, and had he thus been immediately conscious of its source, the light wouldn't have caused him to react like this. For although the flashes that accompanied the messenger's remarkable teleportation-based arrivals and departures were blindingly bright in the casual sense of the term, the truly all-consuming nature of the light didn't in fact pose any visual risk and didn't cause anything close to the level of pupil contraction that would have come were a flashlight, which seemed less bright, shined in the viewer's direction instead. The appearance of Leisha when the flash faded was no surprise to Timo, or indeed Alessandro Bonucci, who was working busily at his side, but both men were taken aback and slightly uneased by the presence at Leisha's side of someone they didn't recognize. Hey, Chip Petrovich said, opting to stay put next to Leisha until his own arrival was explained. Are you guys wearing patches? Timo, glancing in confusion between the two recently arrived individuals and more than a little ironically feeling far more at ease with the extraterrestrial being from the world of New Kerguelen than the as-yet unidentified human he had brought with him, answered by quickly reaching into his pocket and pulling out his adhesive telepathy patch. He placed the patch on his neck while Alessandro did the same with his own, and seconds later, both were hearing Leisha's initial explanatory remarks. Chip nodded along as Leisha introduced him, and then stepped forward to shake hands with Timo and Alessandro. The latter rose only now, having been seated in front of a workstation whose primary screen was filled with a satellite image of the Gravesen Hotel in Buenos Aires. Within a few more seconds, and particularly once he had glanced at the enormous wall-like screen which dominated much of one wall in this room, which was now somewhat reminiscent of those from mission control scenes in space-related movies, Chip realized that Timo and Alessandro had been hard at work, analyzing footage and images from the scene and moment of Mesut Demir's assassination. These clearly were the best people to look over the documents Richard Walker had left behind before his death, Chip considered. Leisha, for his part, couldn't help but recall just a short time earlier when he and the Italians had used this very room to hunt for potential transcript locations after Billy Kendrick, whose delicate current situation Leisha was about to explain, had stumbled upon when viewing satellite images of Dortlu Tepe. For the better part of the next 10 minutes, Leisha filled his Italian friends in as succinctly as possible on everything that had happened since he'd carried them over Earth's South Pole and they had collectively discovered a highly consequential alien transcript. Despite how little time had passed since then, Leisha found that he had an awful lot of news to share, and sadly, much of that news was, indeed, awful. So much was so new to Timo only because he had so diligently followed Clark McCarthy's instructions not to try to connect with the Birchwood-based members of their collective inner circle until contact was initiated in the other direction. The sole time Timo had reached out was when it felt urgent to do so, upon receiving a message from Mesut that explicitly requested it be passed on to Dan. Upon hearing everything Leisha relayed, Timo suddenly understood perfectly well why no one from the Ford McCarthy clan had reached out at any point in the day to keep him looped in. Unavoidably, before hearing all of this, he had begun to feel a little bit slighted at seemingly being something of an afterthought in their minds, given how involved he had been in recent weeks, and given his frequently and loudly expressed willingness to help in any way he and his essentially unmatched financial resources could. There had never been any anger stemming from this lack of updates, with Timo always retaining faith that his friends really were too busy to take time from their unenviable responsibilities to share them with him. He knew that they would have done so if there had been any tangible way he could help, but once again didn't take this consideration in any negative way. Dan, Emma, and the rest weren't people who would ever use Timo or his money in the selfish sense that so many had tried to over the course of his admittedly charmed life, And to the contrary, he knew that they were always reluctant to burden anyone, him included, with problems whose potential solutions those individuals weren't uniquely placed to assist in providing. The news of Phil Norris's death stung Timo something fierce, but Leisha's revelations were coming so quickly that there was really no time to emotionally process it. Given that Timo and Alessandro would both have to be fully mentally present to process what was coming next, this was perhaps no bad thing. Phil would be mourned and remembered in due course, but he would have been more vociferous than anyone else in insisting, were he able to, that the time for that was not now. Leisha paused his long but efficient telepathic recap only once to consider how best to relay the two final revelations. He glanced again at the images of the Buenos Aires Gravesen's external lockdown zone, which Alessandro had been collating and poring over, and noticed digital annotations of things like the angle of the gunshot and calculations relating to the precise time lag between when the gunshot was first heard and when the bullet reached Masut. With this level of attention to detail, the alien considered, it really was no surprise that Alessandro had been the human discoverer of Comet Il Diavolo a few long years earlier. The young man's role in discovering the Antarctic transcript couldn't be dismissed either, and this link brought Leisha's rarely distracted mind back into the present. After all, that very transcript ultimately proved crucial in convincing Dan and Tara that a trip across the gate to Sanctuary, a leap which was necessary to calm a powder keg situation that had threatened to forever cut off interplanetary contact, likely wouldn't be the suicide mission they had hitherto, and quite understandably, dismissed it as. Prior to the Antarctic transcript's suggestion that the gate would indeed lead to a viable sanctuary planet, rather than some unknown hellscape, the broader group had felt all kinds of fears about what might have been waiting on the other side. Timo, having already been reeling from the death of his friend Masut earlier in the day, and now trying to process the news that Phil Norris had been murdered the previous night, suddenly felt his legs give out from under him at the revelation that another friend and one of his closest confidants, Billy Kendrick, was currently alone on the other side of what had turned out to be a time gate. Leisha used his powers of telekinesis to break Timo's fall, thrusting out a hand to remotely hold him a few inches from the ground before slowly lowering him. Too shocked to even think about thanking Leisha for this helpful intervention, Timo pushed himself to his feet. "So Dan and Tara are home safely, but Billy is stranded?" he asked. "Not just lost in space, but possibly lost in time?" Alessandro Bonucci, meanwhile, as a leading astronomer with a highly esteemed academic background in astrophysics, was too amazed and intrigued to yet feel any concern for Billy. "A time gate? How do we know? What's the data? Where's the data?" "Hold on a second," Chip interjected, speaking out loud as Alessandro and Timo had been doing so far, and as was often natural for the humans to do, even when it wasn't strictly necessary. "The reason we're here is really because of something else. Richard Walker recorded a video before he died, and it links Emporion Holdings, the fund that bought Blitz, to all kinds of stuff." Timo Fiori's eyebrows rose halfway to the back of his head. "Walker? Emporion? But he's been dead for years." At this point, Leisha took over and relayed as quickly as he possibly could the most pertinent aspects of the video. He mentioned that Chip had it with him on a device the other humans had spoken of as a flash drive, but which Leisha himself couldn't pretend to be familiar with, much less understand, and that they could watch it on the big screen in a matter of moments. Chip spoke again. "There are documents, too, Timo, listing all kinds of names and making all kinds of evidence-supported connections between them. I don't think this is too far from the kind of investigation work you and your guys have been doing into Emporion, from what the others have told me, but this is like a rocket-charged boost to your efforts." "Incredible," Timo smiled. With so much news of death and danger, a smile may have seemed out of place. For Timo, however, this news that the group might have just been given the key to blowing up the Emporion story once and for all was welcome indeed. It didn't make up for the losses of his friends Phil and Masood, of course, but it did bring the group closer to bringing to justice those responsible. Well, yes, Alessandro said with an evident absence of the same level of enthusiasm, but financial records and the stories they tell aren't exactly on the level of finding out that time travel is possible. I mean, this is everything. Alessandro wasn't smiling while he spoke either, as scientifically excited as he was by the remarkable revelation, and for very good reason. Even if Billy hadn't been isolated on the wrong side of the time gate, Alessandro Bonucci had read enough theoretical papers on things like time gates to have a good grasp of the wider and potentially cataclysmic danger that their existence could bring. Time wasn't something to mess with, and someone had evidently been messing with it. We have to multitask on this stuff, Chip said. Leisha is planning to go back for Billy tomorrow night, right after an eclipse Billy wanted to stick around for. But we need to figure out as much as we can about what Geller and the others are really doing, because Dan and Emma and Godfrey are going to be busy with something tomorrow night too, facing those sons of bitches on Focus 2020. This is the best chance we'll ever have to not only hold them to account, but to put them down for good, all while calming down the shitstorm their whole Dortolu Tepe leak has set off. Timo, how about you and me use our skill sets to look into these documents and find the highlights, and at the same time, Leisha can tell Alessandro everything we know about the time gate?
Certainly, Leisha said. The gate is not of my race's creation, as you all know, and the manipulation of time is not something our kind have seriously considered.
Alessandro, I can talk to Sacco again and get all the primary data we have, and you can try your best to make sense of it while also being able to ask any questions that come up in your mind. Because your mind, without wishing to place any pressure upon it, is more suited to this than any mind on New Kerguelen. Humbled, but understanding where Leisha was coming from, Alessandro nodded quickly. Timo, sound good?
Sounds perfect,
the billionaire replied, clapping his hands together before holding one out to receive the all-important flash drive from Chip.
Okay, gentlemen. Two subjects, two teams. First to make sense of theirs wins.
Alessandro chuckled. So your subject is a list of names Richard Walker has already made, and mine is time travel. Seems fair.
You've got an uplifted alien on your side, Timo retorted.
Exactly, Chip said from Timo's side, pointing a thumb at himself. All he's got is a shady lawyer. Even Leisha performed an instinctive and almost human grin as the humans laughed at Chip's self-deprecating joke. The two teams got to work on their respective tasks, which would retain their total focus all through the night and well into Tuesday morning. While the Fiori Frontieri building may have looked closed and vacant to any passers-by, some of the most consequential research and calculations ever performed were going on deep within its walls.